Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
One of President Trump's campaign promises during the 2016 election was that he would build a wall along the U.S. southern border. But in the 2 years since he took office, only 60 miles of so-called replacement barriers have been built. Regardless of how much of a physical wall there is, for years, the U.S. government has heightened its border enforcement with military technology, including surveillance drones, aircraft, motion sensors, and biometric technology. And now a new report called More Than a Wall from the Transnational Institute shows us what the extent of this border militarization looks like and follows the money to see how these arms manufacturing companies are profiting and potentially influencing policy. Joining me now is the author of the report, Todd Miller. Todd is a journalist and the recent author of Empire of Borders, the expansion of the U.S. border around the world. Todd, welcome to The Takeaway.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
As we mentioned, there's only been 60 miles of the actual physical barrier border wall that the president called for that's been built so far. But what about the other technology used for border enforcement?
There is plenty of that other technology. If you look back, say, for the last 25 years, and I use that time period because in approximately 1993 is when several operations under the Clinton administration actually began a bolstering of the border enforcement apparatus, a fairly significant bolstering that included building actually walls in urban areas, but also reinforcing those walls with surveillance technologies, meaning cameras and radar systems in some cases, and also increased personnel. The budget for border and immigration enforcement was about $1.5 billion. And then you fast forward to now, to about 2018, it's $23 billion. So you're looking at a really significant increase over that time period, which is there are billions of dollars worth of technologies, including over 12,000 implanted motion sensors along the 2,000-mile U.S.-Mexico border. There are hundreds of video surveillance towers. There are radar systems. There's command and control centers. All of this with this under a strategy known as prevention through deterrence, which is made so it's blockades, traditional crossing places, mainly urban areas, and then people then circumvent those areas. And the deterrence is that the areas where people have been crossing for these last 20 years have been like the desert in Arizona where I live. And one of the results of this is that more than 7,500 remains of people have been recovered. And that's a low number. Most estimates have that there are probably plenty more bodies out in the desert lands.
There have been lots of concerns about the policy at the U.S. southern border right now, putting children, for example, as people are saying, in cages, deterring folks coming to the United States from a policy standpoint, and of course, the bickering over putting up a physical wall. However, there does have to be some type of surveillance put in place to manage this international border. So what's really at issue, according to your reporting?
One of the things definitely at issue was that much of the surveillance technology has been put in place under this prevention through deterrence strategy, and that there have been ramifications and people have died crossing the border. So that's one part of it.
But are the deaths coming from people who are crossing the border, or how do they connect to the technology that you're referencing?
The idea of prevention through deterrence is that you put walls or fencing in urban areas such as Nogales, such as San Diego, such as El Paso, such as Brownsville. Those barriers are reinforced by technology and Border Patrol agents. What happens is that people are then blockaded. It's definitely bolstered and been ratcheted up now, but it's been going on for a while. And one of the things that happens is that those traditional crossing areas are blockaded, and then people circumvent those areas, and they end up in places like the Arizona desert, where year after year after year, there's remains of people recovered because they can't carry enough water, they can't carry enough food. And that was the intention of the policy, that the fact that people wouldn't be able to cross through these areas would be a deterrent. And then the word would get back to places like Mexico or Central America, and that people wouldn't come.
So in terms of the actual technology that's being implemented, you're suggesting that this is creating what, policy implications because certain companies are lobbying for their technology to be used?
Yes, that's true. There have been 65,000 contracts given out by Customs and Border Protection, amounting to about $27 billion. Like if you take border and immigration enforcement budgets from 1975 to 1998, that's the equivalent of that number. It's immense. It's over 20 years of budgets from the past. So you can see how much, you know, this has increased and how much money is going to contractors just through CBP. And what happens then is that, you know, different companies will receive contracts. And also we're talking about companies that have clout in Washington and can get behind closed doors, have been giving campaign contributions. For example, we looked at, you know, five companies that have gotten border contracts, including Boeing, Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, General Atomics, General Dynamics. Those five companies alone, between the same period that where $26 billion have been doled out in contracts, they've also given $27 million in campaign contributions to key members in the Congress, such as the House Homeland Committee. And so what we're looking at is this kind of, I guess, complex, if you will, of influence.
So Todd, is the takeaway here that these technologies are being implemented more because the money is going to really line the pockets of members of Congress versus any sort of actual concern over security at the U.S. southern border?
This issue of the fact that there are companies making money off of deploying technologies, creating technologies, not only technologies. I mean, there's a company that was building the replacement wall, for example, from Montana. There's a company that supplies the uniforms to the Border Patrol. There's all kinds of companies that are, you know, they rely on the contracts or they want the contracts that the border, CBP or ICE. ICE has given out approximately $18 billion in contracts over that 2006 to 2018 time period as well, which includes private prison companies and that sort of thing. And all these companies, of course, they want to get more contracts and they have the clout, they have the influence in Washington. Yes, so there's this pattern of influence that's going on and that has to be looked at honestly and holistically and probably reckoned with as we look at, you know, what is this border and immigration apparatus that we have before us.
Todd Miller is a journalist and the author of the report More Than a Wall from the Transnational Institute. Todd, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.